When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 186 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Ryan Mark. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
We have a very special episode for you today with two of the sweetest humans on the planet. One of them is a ginger in the Seventh Best Weasley. The other is a horror fanatic and an animal lover. They are both very important to the Harry Potter fandom, as well as being the creators of the safest spaces with the House of Chris Ness, and they are very special to us here at Swish and Flick. Please welcome Chris and Ness to the podcast.
Hi.
Oh, hey. Good morning and good afternoon for everybody involved here. We're so excited to have you on the podcast again.
It's lovely to be talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, not that we don't talk to you all the time, but like as a group, it's lovely to be talking to you and seeing your lovely faces.
Yeah, it feels good. This gives us maybe some hope of getting together in the future. Maybe in person.
Happen.
Wouldn't that be? Yeah. It seems like a miracle right now. Yeah,
right. Before we get into this episode, this is going to be just like our usual. So we're going to go to Megan for the weekly profit.
So this is interesting. And I know that we've been talking a lot about like this whole change in who's dealing with the Potterverse over at Warner Brothers. And the Warner Media chief, Jason, I don't know if this is how you say his name, Kylar, basically teased at an investors conference on Thursday about Harry Potter sequels coming to HBO Max.
Sequels?
I don't know what that means. Whatever. Prequels, sequels, I don't know. More Harry Potter, basically. But it was at an investors conference during an appearance that he had with HBO Max and Warner Brothers.
Do you think this ties into those rumors that were a few weeks ago, about a series?
I mean, I think that at this point, in terms of like, if you take a look at how every other huge franchise is handling streaming and everything, it would be really stupid of us to think that they won't add on to Harry Potter. And this is just my opinion, my little humble opinion over here. I think that with as many like Marvel series as we're getting and Lord of the Rings series, the fact that they have the rights to this and this is even like a little conversation, like I think it's going to happen. It's just a matter of what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I hope it's new and they don't just like redo what's already been done. I would hope that they're going to expand because, you know, like how many people have begged for a Marauders series? Like, let's just give it to us, please. Thank you. That'd be great. But
but don't mess it up.
But don't mess it up.
Do it the right way, the way that we want it.
But this is just adding to those rumors, basically. There's more talks of it.
Okay. Interesting.
I think there's potential.
Interesting.
Me personally, I'm just like, you know what? I'll take more content. You can throw it at me and I'll make my opinion when it's out there, but I want it all.
Very easy to please when it comes to content. Like, genuinely, people who are like, I hated this or this, and I'm like, what? I thought it was so good. So
yeah, I'm very like you, Megan. I'm just happy to sit back and watch something that somebody else made for my entertainment.
Yeah.
It has to be pretty spectacularly bad before I'll be like, no, I hated it.
Right. Same. I think that this is going to happen. It's just a matter of like the timeline. I have no idea what the timeline on this would be, but I really do think that they're going to make more. They're just going to hold off for a very long time on what that more means, I think.
And who I'd imagine.
And who's in it.
Yeah.
I reckon it'll be 5 years at least.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It'll be a while.
Could they get Adam Driver to play Snape, though?
Please. Here's my thing, though. You know me. I'm a little bit more picky. Like, I just want something new, not something that...
See, I would like a founder story, because that's a little bit further removed from the Potter line that we know, even with the Marauders being involved. Like, if we got, like, the founders of Hogwarts story, early Wizarding World time... I think
before
that would be
Fantastic
pretty
Beasts,
cool.
Before long
well,
time ago.
And I think that like isn't I think both Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones are doing like way prequel ones, so that's the kind trend of route they're going. Yeah,
Game of Thrones is doing literally everything under the sun, from what I understand.
Well,
like,
yeah,
anyone, they have no new books coming out.
Who briefly kind of went hello is going to have a prequel or a spin-off show of some description. Like,
it feels like Star Wars too.
When I was working in production, they just started kind of talking about the Game of Thrones sort of spin-off shows, and the list of it was countless the ideas they had.
That's how I feel like Star Wars is, because like you know, when they that one day that they were like literally coming out and they're like, we're gonna have this show, and I was like, I like it, but at the same time I'm like, I feel like you're throwing a lot at us at like one time, and that's
that they realized they were doing that and they kind of took a step back though, because like that's after I mean, also, I know that this is controversial, but Star Wars fans are literally the worst. Sorry. And after they like they can be toxic. Yes. Every fandom has them. It's not just Star Wars. Yeah. Sorry. But like truly. And
I mean, like kind of, but like really.
But everybody like, for real. You're off.
But like after
I'm not
after
agreeing
that,
with you, but I'm not disagreeing with you.
You know? I mean, I'll be the one to vocalize it. It's fine. Everybody else can be silent. I know everybody thinks what I'm saying. I'm just gonna keep talking. No kidding.
We agree with you. Tiffany, I agree with you.
I know.
Hey,
I know.
I'm a Star Wars fan and no, I'm not toxic.
But after that last movie came out, they were supposed to have more come out like within a year, and they just pushed everything back because they got such bad feedback from it. And I mean, like people really hated the Han Solo movie, and I watched that and I was like, what was wrong with this movie? I thought it was good. Again, another
I liked it. It wasn't my favorite one, but I liked it.
It's just another example of me liking everything. I was just like,
no, it was a good movie.
It was a good story.
But you said, like Star Wars fans, like when that one movie came out, they're like, oh my God, this is too similar. Then the next one, they're like, oh, this is way too different. Like, okay, what would you like me to do?
They can take a backseat. Nobody cares.
Sarah, they want to write it. They want to write it. Okay.
Then write it.
No, because then it would be fan service. Then it would turn into a cursed child thing. This is fan fiction. I don't know. What do you want?
That's the problem. That is the problem with prequels and sequels, though. And I think that would be my concern going forward with the Potter IP is where is this content coming from? Because that's obviously that's a big thing at the moment you know, do we need more proper content or do we need more kind of spin-off content in the sense that it's Cursed Child that was a Jack Thorne development, for want of a better word. That I think that is what's going to be the sticking point for it is, you know, if you're delving into areas that haven't really been touched before, who's doing it? Mm-hmm. Where's it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And I should imagine that's probably what's going to hold them up a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that Potter has going for itself in that realm is that I think people are kind of ready to pass it to other people to like expand the universe. I think that that would like get more people interested in spinoff material. So like maybe that will be beneficial to Potter. So I don't know. Just another like angle.
It's a dream.
It'd be fascinating to see what comes. I still wouldn't put it past them at some point to be doing a full remake.
Oh yeah, for sure.
A full remake.
I said that weeks ago.
I've been saying it. Yeah, ever since Netflix and Amazon started doing these ridiculously long, in-depth series. And I suppose since Game of Thrones, really, it's kind of become inevitable that at some point we're going to get the full versions, you know, like chapter per hour kind of.
I guess I wouldn't be too sad about that.
I'd be here for it. I think I think what people hang on to the most with the movies and them being the originals are the actors who portray the characters. That's what people hold on to. It's not the story that you're holding on to, because there are so many things that we want to see. Like, we want that detailed, I want seasons on seasons on seasons if I can see everything. But we hang on to the actors, right? Like, can you imagine?
But we're all ancient now.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's true, but
I wasn't going to say it.
Well, but like, if you do think about it, an older character, maybe people, because everybody who was playing those characters was like older in the series. So if you played people around like your actual age, maybe you could come back and be somebody else.
You also have to think too with those movies, like you forget, like if you watch the movies and you're inundated, like I have been, is that you forget that, like, you know, how old Alan Rickman's character is actually supposed to be, or Gary Oldman's character, like they're supposed to be in their 30s and 30s, they weren't.
Yeah.
Even like when the people playing Lily and James, like you forget that they're like 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
I too, which makes it sadder. The movies,
yeah, it does make it a whole lot sadder.
But you know, like that's made this reread so much better that we're doing though, because like I have just been, I just surrounded myself with the movies, watching them over and over and over and over again, and like not rereading the books nearly as many times as I watch the movies. So then, like going back and rereading these as an adult, I'm just like, oh man, I forgot so much. I forgot so much of what happened. Yeah. But
some patrons in the chat suggested that Danny DeVito come back and play Uncle Vernon, and it could be a new series called Dursleys, The Early Years, and it's just the life before Harry shows up.
I mean, we were always taught, we always thought we should have a like proper 90s American sitcom version of the Weasleys.
Yes!
Oh my God.
Sort of in that kind of Roseanne kind of era.
It could be like an all new WandaVision, but about the Dursleys.
Hold on. Give me a show from the 90s, a 90s sitcom show that you would place the Weasleys in.
I can't think of one that's, I don't know if I, like maybe, I don't know, maybe even like, I can't think of an American one.
No, you're so on the spot.
It's somewhere in the kind
full
of
house.
What was
full
that?
House. Full house.
Full house.
Yeah, we didn't get that over here. That's like American. I don't know. My brain immediately goes somewhere like Malcolm in the Middle.
Okay. But, okay. Yeah, okay. That would be funny.
But I don't know, not even that. I don't know if it's even sort of more.
I was thinking, like, what's the one called with Steve Urkel? Is that Family Matters?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that kind of thing where, like, Mr. Weasley comes in through the door and goes, morning, Weasley's in the studio audience. Like, ah!
Yes. I would.
God, they would love that.
Oh, God.
The Dursleys would love song, that. And we all come on and go, we're the Weasleys, the Weasleys.
And there's all the beginning takes at the, at like, the beginning with the theme song where everybody's like,
yeah.
And then Mr. Weasley can get all mad about like all this stuff that is happening, and Harry can come in and be like, and it was me all along.
Perfect.
I'm just really invested in WandaVision right now. Okay. Well, all right. That was a long weekly profit.
Is it time?
Bring it.
For the recap.
Thank you. So fun story, the episode after this has the recap I'm supposed to do. So instead, I'm going to lead into Sarah's summary and say, raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings.
She's still going.
These are a few of their favorite things.
Hey!
I appreciate you, Katie.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You read that so well.
That was
I literally read it because I didn't know the lyrics straight up
you
off my head.
Lied to me. I thought you knew
that. Well, no, like I know them, but like I get really nervous in a situation, so I would have messed it up. So I had to read it.
I want Katie to read me a bedtime story.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was kind of almost ASMR.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Katie's voice is fantastic.
That's just Katie's main voice. Katie's, I'm not quite awake yet.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So today we are going to have a Q&A style episode all about Chris and Ness's favorite things, from maybe personal stuff to Harry Potter stuff. And I'm up first. So it doesn't have to be Potter related travel, but what is the favorite place that you have traveled before?
Ooh. Ooh, together or
whatever.
I think
whatever
it doesn't
you want.
Have to be together.
Because we tend to go to the same places over and over again together.
Yeah, I think one of the favorite places I've ever traveled, which was before I met you, was Egypt.
Wow.
Which kind of ties in with the Weasleys.
Yeah. I was in that picture. I was edited in.
Yeah. So
oh
was
God.
I.
I think we all were.
Yeah, Egypt. It's an amazing place. I love the history, the people. Oh, it's just so beautiful. We should go.
Okay.
What is
that
travel?
So exciting.
What is travel?
So what was your favorite thing that you like saw while you were there? Because I would love to go to Egypt someday.
Oh gosh, there's so much. So when I was younger, I really wanted to be an Egyptologist. I still kind of do. But it's not that easy when, you know, you don't live in Egypt. Or
you're not willing to spend like 3 months living in a hole in the ground, digging stuff up. Because like you watch these programs about Egyptologists and they're like, yep, now I've just left my family behind for 6 months to come and live in this tent by the side of a tomb while I scrape around in the soil with a trowel day on day.
I'd be okay with that. I don't think he would. I think if anybody's going to visit Egypt, the place to go would be Luxor, which is kind of like the modern day Thebes, which was one of the capitals. Mm-hmm. And you have most of the stuff around there, like the Valley of the Kings and Karnak Temple, Luxor Temple. So yeah, there. It's just
full of old stuff.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Just for the old stuff.
I like.
What about you, Chris?
I'm slightly biased, being a Kiwi by birth, that my favorite place that I've ever been is New Zealand. I don't know if it's cheating to choose the place that you were born and like spend the first 6 years of your life in, but it's, you know, I haven't lived there for 30 years, 31 years actually. So I don't think it really counts as somewhere I know that well anymore. So when I do get to go, and I haven't been in a long time, we were supposed to be going this year, but I think that's probably now off the list. Yeah, it's just beautiful. And the country, I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful country. The landscape's gorgeous and so diverse, like from the North Island, where it's sort of these green, rolling, lush hills and, you know, beautiful, long, sandy beaches. And then you've got kind of rainforesty bits. And then obviously on the South Island, you've got the Southern Alps. So it's all mountains and rocks. It's, well, I mean, it's Lord of the Rings. Literally everything you see in Lord of the Rings that isn't CG'd is New Zealand. And it's that diverse. Like, they film so much stuff there.
I don't know if it's worrying that we've both picked places that we haven't been together. Like, well, the places we met. We've been together, like,
because when we travel together, I mean, we've been together for what seems like forever now. It's only 5 years.
Yeah.
But we travel for work, so we go to
Ohio. Like,
we go to amazing places in Ohio. Yeah. Like places you wouldn't necessarily.
Yeah.
Go sort of, if you were like, where should we go for a week? Ohio. It's not necessarily your sort of your first choice of American holiday destination if you're a Brit necessarily. But yeah, we tend to go to kind of places that are slightly odd or very obvious, like Orlando or New York. Or, you know,
but like Salem was pretty sick.
Salem was so lovely. Salem, I think. Actually, no, I think Salem might be one of the, might be my favourite place we've been together.
Yeah, Rockport more than Salem, but
because we had, while we were up there, we just got in the car one day, because we were there, but it was LeakyCon in Boston, wasn't it, we were there for. Mm-hmm. And we'd gone out a little bit early and had a sort of mini break in Salem, had an Airbnb and hired a car and just spent a few days on vacay, really, didn't we? And yeah, just one day we were like, right, what should we do? We just thought, well, we'll just get in the car and just like get lost.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So, so much fun. And we ended up in this beautiful little town called Rockport, which is...
When nothing was open
because it was October. So it was massively off season. It was blowing a gale. And it's this, like, it looks like if the Wizarding World had a Diagon Alley by the sea.
It's that's awesome.
So cute. Wow. Like, everyone listening, go and Google images of Rockport now, because it's like, it's so pretty. It's like this sort of Nordic inspired little fishing town in Massachusetts, and it's teeny weeny and quite hippie, and
I like that.
So it was just so beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
really so beautiful. Lovely. And we had a really nice day, and we just drove around and looked at all the big expensive houses that we could never afford.
Yeah. I still look at like, you know, Zillow now. See how much
I love those little hidden gems you stumble upon. Like, that's the best part of any trip that you take.
I mean, it's always fun doing the sort of the exciting, you know, the standard tourist stuff in Salem, you know, the House of the Seven Gables and the Witch House, and you know, and that's grand, but you know, that's where everybody else is as well,
right
you know, when you're sat in a little tiny like cafe in Rockport having your clam chowder, watching the sea smashing against the windows of the cafe.
That sounds awesome. By the way, that that gale you're talking about, so you all went to Salem the day before we did, I think. Didn't you go as like a big group with LeakyCon people?
We didn't, they did.
Oh, they you didn't. Okay, so the day that all the LeakyCon people went to Salem was gorgeous. The day that we went after,
half the day was gorgeous.
Yeah.
We got smashed. I think
that was when we were in Rockport.
Yeah, I think possibly it was. Yeah.
Well, we were outside that whole day.
I might have cried it while we were eating pizza because I was so cold and wet. I wouldn't change the day at all.
Was that day, wasn't it? Because
That's the day before Leaky started.
That's
right?
Yeah.
I was gonna say though, my favorite thing in Salem was that pickle pizza that we ate. It was so good.
It was awesome.
Pizza? That sounds great. That's something I could invest in.
It was good. It was very good.
I had a cheeseburger pizza that had pickles on it once.
Oh, that was good too.
Yeah, that was good.
I would eat this. Yep.
Well, now that we're talking about LeakyCon, we'll go right into my next question. That was a good segue, everyone.
We planned it. We really did.
Favorite LeakyCon moment. And I know you two have been to more than we have. We've only been to LeakyCon once.
Oh, I've done... you've been twice?
I think twice.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've done Texas several. And...
Yeah, Texas and Boston.
Boston.
I think my favorite LeakyCon moment would probably be going back. Oh, actually, I've just said it's my favorite LeakyCon moment. I'm suddenly doubting myself as to whether it was actually a LeakyCon moment.
That's what happens when you get old. Your memory goes.
Well, there's so many Harry Potter events in America, they start to blur after a while. But that being said, I have seen them at LeakyCon, so therefore it does count. It's probably seeing original Starkid doing Very Potter musical.
Oh, cool.
Before the internet found them and before Darren Criss became, you know, the biggest thing in the world. and it still amuses me now that, you know, I get people on social media going, oh my God, have you seen a Very Potter musical? I'm like, oh, sweetheart. I saw it when nobody else knew what it was. When it was literally original. This little group of geeks who got together at college and put on a funny Harry Potter parody. And then you lot found it and now it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty cool. Awesome. It's funny. It's funny things like that. Like, you know, remembering a million years ago when Darren Criss had asked me to have his photo taken with me, not the other way around.
That's awesome.
But Leaky's great.
Yeah.
You know, the absolute sense of community and joy and togetherness, I think, is a really special thing. It's very unique.
Mm-hmm.
After Boston, I was like, I don't know what I've been holding back on, like literally my entire life of going to this thing, but I'm never missing another one.
Yeah.
And then they all got canceled. So sorry, I don't know what that means for anybody.
She jinxed it.
I'm sorry.
What about you, Ness?
Honestly, I can't remember anything big. I think it's the little interactions you have with people.
Yeah.
You know, like meeting fans. It's always really weird to me that people know who I am. Like if they come up to the table, I'm like, oh, hi, Ness. I'm like, how do you know my name? people know me now. Oh. I remember on the last night of the Boston one. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was, you know, when we had the big party?
Yeah.
And somebody had handed me, like, a confetti cannon. And they were like, we're not supposed to do this, but just set it off at the end of the song. And I was quite drunk because people just kept buying me drinks. Okay. And then it was really awkward because I was stood on the stage with this confetti cannon and I couldn't, like, set it off. So I was just stood there, like, with this confetti cannon, like trying to twist it. And in the end, I just gave it to someone because I was like, I can't do this. But I'd literally been stood on the stage for like 2 minutes just fiddling with this cannon.
Like, what's that person doing?
Yeah, it was really awkward, but.
Yeah, that would happen to me. Thing.
Keep on, like.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? It's like just the randomness of it all and the kind of the sheer brilliance of some of the, like, the cosplay you see.
Oh my God.
You're like, how did you even think of that? Yeah. Like, what goes through your mind where you're like, I'm going to cosplay page 396 of the, you know, like, give that. Yeah.
Then they do it so well. Yeah. Like, they are talented. Like, it's just mind-blowing to me because I'm not that talented. It just looks awesome.
I got to judge the cosplay competition in Boston and it was so hard because I was like all of these costumes are amazing, and now I have to pick one of you that's the best. And yeah. I just want to keep all the first place.
Yeah. That would be me. I'd be like, you're all too good, so I don't know. Fight amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Just throw it in the air and see whoever gets it.
Yeah, LeakyCon has some really great, like, just little moments. Everybody's so happy, and it's infectious. Mm-hmm. And the trading of, like, the little ribbons and stuff.
Oh, God.
So fun. The ribbons. Oh,
the ribbons.
How many?
Hang on. Let me just talk amongst yourselves.
Have you not seen the picture of me with, I got that many ribbons, like, I laid them on the floor, and it was taller than me.
I didn't really know the popularity of the ribbons until we got there, and I was like, right. I wish I had made some.
I was like, I was not prepared.
It was so, not prepared. We'll
for prepared those of you time. Who don't know about the ribbons and what we're talking about, so people come to LeakyCon with like ribbons that they create with like little sayings on them. They're different colors, and you trade them. And you like put them on, you have a lanyard with like a card. So like us at Swish, we had like press passes. So we stuck them on the back of those. And we didn't know about it until like very last minute.
It was basically so last minute I couldn't order some to come in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every year I keep meaning to take some. And next time I go to LeakyCon, I'm going to take my own ribbons to dole out.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my, but it seems to be a uniquely, I say it's probably now a uniquely LeakyCon thing. There used to be another group called Harry Potter Education Fanon, HPEF, who used to do not quite LeakyCon sized events, but big Harry Potter events and slightly more academic than sort of more academic than the sort of the celebrity aspect. They didn't have the sort of the special guests quite so much. They were more kind of academics from wherever coming to do lectures about sort of various themes within Harry Potter, all the literary things and this, that and the other. It was great, but they used to do ribbons as well. But yeah, it now seems to be a uniquely leaky thing. And I kind of love it.
Uniquely leaky. I love that.
I'll have to pass that one on to them. They can have that.
Put that on a ribbon.
Okay, this one I'm really excited about. Favorite video game?
Oh God, no! Don't do this because
let's go.
Chris has been playing this game for ages, and like I can't get him off it. I haven't seen him for months.
So.
Here we go.
Let's talk.
I'm not much of a video game player. Never really have been. I never had a console growing up. I never had like a Sega Mega. Aging myself here. Never had a Sega Mega Drive or a Super Nintendo or any of that. And we bought a PS4.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago now.
You bought it for me. For my
I
birthday.
Did. Yes, and you played it a few times. but I always used to love like SimCity games and things like that on the computer, not on the console. I used to have things like that and Theme Hospital and I was never really into The Sims, but like building things, programs, loved them. So during lockdown, I rediscovered my love of Roller Coaster Tycoon.
There you go.
So I found that there was the Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 had been like put back out for Mac. So I downloaded that onto my Apple, onto my MacBook Pro, and have been playing that and got through all the challenges and kind of was starting to feel a bit like, yeah, I kind of run out of this one now. And then discovered that there's this new game called Planet Coaster, which is essentially Roller Coaster Tycoon, but now. So with now graphics and like now abilities, and it's not all square and chunky and pixelated. And like, I can't get it to run on my computer because it's such an in-depth game that you need like a full-on $2,000 gaming PC to even consider it. But they've just released it on on console. So I got it for the PS4, which isn't quite as good apparently, but it's fine for me. And it is literally, it's so good. It is so good. I'm so like in depth. I love it. I absolutely love it. But to the point at which I've started like sitting and watching YouTube videos of people building parts. That's how in depth.
I came downstairs this morning and had to sit through an hour of this guy like building a park on YouTube. And I was like, okay, great.
Okay. Oh, I love that. I love how excited you are about it. That's so great. I'm terrible at it.
I'm so because I'm so used to like playing Roller Coaster Tycoon, which is such a wonderful game, but it's also 20 odd years old now, Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. And like you can only build in squares and it's so clunky and of its time that like trying to move over to a piece of software that is essentially the same thing, but with the abilities of a computer game now. Mm-hmm. And like it thinks so much more. Like you know, you can't just build a queue to a ride, you have to decorate it and theme it, otherwise your customers in the park get bored of being in line and they complain and they don't like the park, and it's so complicated. And the rides, you have to get the banking right on the rides, and it's so complicated.
Oh, it's such a hard life.
Oh. What happens when you're an actor in lockdown with no work?
Hey, video games have been such an outlet for people during this time, like mm-hmm. Animal Crossing, when that came out, that there were studies done about people's mental health that helped us so much.
Why are you pointing at me?
Because that's been your crack, isn't it, for the last year?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah,
sometimes so I'll be on and I'll see like Ness logs in and I'm like, ooh, Ness is playing.
I see you as well. I'm like, oh, Tis playing Super Mario, cool.
Oh god, don't look at the hours I've spent on games. It's embarrassing.
You can see, oh my lord, Megan.
I'm sorry, I've spent a lot of time on Animal Crossing this past year, okay? I think I'm almost up to 500 hours.
That's a lot. Okay.
It stops, by the way, it's probably more than that because it only like remembers so many up to 500.
Oh my god.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't really have a real count.
Yeah, I'm Animal Crossing was my savior in 2020.
Yeah, to be fair, like I don't really play video games. Like no. I don't get obsessed like you do.
I like once I start doing something, I want to just keep going until I've finished it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I am too.
Like I did Red Dead Redemption.
Oh.
And I love Red Dead Redemption. And I had been playing that until I rediscovered Roller Coaster Tycoon, and then I was like, I was playing Red Dead 2 for the second time, so I was like, nah, I can leave that for a bit now. I was like, I was just kind of trying to get through other things that I'd missed the first time round, like, you know, all the sort of little side quests and bits and bobs that you're kind of supposed to pick up against the, you know, not part of the main storyline. It's like, you know, when you've got to go and find all these other little random things, and it's like, wow, I'm going to try and do those. But then I discovered Planet Coaster, and now I just want to build theme parks for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Have fun.
So happy about that one.
Yeah.
We're just very lucky we have two TVs in different rooms, aren't we?
Well, to be fair, like, I have the Switch Lite, so I don't even use the TV.
Yeah, no, true. But then you can just sit and watch your YouTube makeup tutorials. That's your guilty pleasure, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah. Yeah. No, I play in Animal Crossing, which I started my island, my first island, because I restarted like a year ago. But I kind of like, I just felt because my best friend like set me up with so much stuff when I first started, I was like, oh, okay, but like I kind of want to do this for myself.
Yeah.
Like I want to be able to not fish because I don't have a fishing rod, which sounds stupid. But I was just like, ugh. And then I got like so fell out of love with it for a while, and then I restarted my island, and now I'm about, I don't know, a month in, and I'm really enjoying it again, actually.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, you know, now you're a theme park widow. You've got more time.
I do. Yeah,
that's so good. Oh my gosh. My husband feels that way when I play Breath of the Wild. I Love that game. I love all Zelda games, though, so those are my favorite.
Oh, have you played Spiritfarer? That's really good.
Mm-hmm, I haven't.
Oh my god, it's so cute.
Is it Zelda-esque?
Not really. It's kind of like you turn into the person who like ferries the dead to their next resting place.
Oh, but
it's
okay.
So cute. And like you have to look after these animals and like make sure their last wishes are all done. And then you have to like take them to the other side. But it's actually really sad when they leave. I'm like, why? I treated you so well. Why do you want to leave me?
Aw. I like that.
I played it through once and then I couldn't do it again because I got too sad.
Yeah, that sounds like a sad game. All right. Well, my questions are over. Moving on. This is a good question, though.
What's your favorite thing to drink?
Adult.
Oh, is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Oh, drink,
I just
drink.
Would be like water. Cause it, you
wait,
know,
who cares? Who cares about regular drinks?
Do you mean like drink or like alcohol?
Yeah. I'm guessing Tiffany wrote this question. I stole it from her. So yes, I'm guessing she wants to know what your favorite adult beverage is.
I think that's a great question to get to know someone.
I think if it's just like someone's like, oh, what do you want to drink? My default is just gin and tonic.
Mm. I had that last night.
But, oh gosh. If I was like, if I could have anything, whiskey, scotch. I love scotch, but
wow,
I don't really drink that much.
No, neither of us really do we?
No,
I haven't.
We're so boring.
I actually haven't had alcohol since January.
But yeah, we're so boring, mate.
That's all right.
I don't drink a lot either.
Yeah, scotch, but we have like an enormous amount of alcohol, and we don't even drink.
We went through that phase a few years ago of quite enjoying gin. And then everyone found out that we quite enjoyed gin. So
they just bought us
gin. And now we have
like every birthday, every Christmas.
And it's taken a while to kind of get people to go, look, we not being funny, guys, we don't drink that much. Like yeah. we'll have a drink every now and then. But this year especially, like I enjoy a drink as like a reward at the end of the day. And this year being what it's been, there's kind of been no
reward.
There's been nothing to reward. I've done anything. Like it's not like, oh, I need to sit down and have a nice glass of wine. It's like
If I
wanted to sit down and have a nice relaxing glass of wine, I could have been starting to do that at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that's probably not a great idea.
Yeah, I get that.
Very true.
Just not fancied it really.
But I mean, tonight we've got your mum coming over for Sunday lunch, so we might have a drink then.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like everyone's going, oh, I can't wait for the summer. All the bars are going to open again and we can go out. And I'm like, why?
That's how I
do
feel.
Like drink.
The life of an introvert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd much rather stay at home with like a nice whiskey than have to go out. Yeah.
It's cheaper and you don't have to see people you don't want to see.
You get to choose the company.
My husband took this time during like quarantine to learn how to make different cocktails. So we've been kind of adventuring with that, and he's getting really good at it. So,
well, if he wants to come to Wales,
I'm sure he would. We were talking last night about going to. We were like, we just want to go somewhere together. Let's go to Ireland. Let's go to Italy. And I was like, when? Never. In the future, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when it's allowed,
we will. We will come and see you. And he's a great cook. He makes great drinks. We'll just hang out.
Oh, there you go. You two can cook. And me and Tiff will drink.
That sounds about right.
I think it would be perfect.
Yeah.
So the next question is, so I've gotten back into reading a lot. And I want to know what's your favorite book you've ever read, or like what's a book that you would recommend to someone to read? Like you have to read this book kind of thing.
Ooh.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Do you?
Yeah. Night Circus.
Oh, yeah. Night Circus. I read last year and absolutely loved. I have that on
my bookshelf.
It's great. And I believe David Heyman has the film option for it, which is interesting. It's one of those books that's really hard to describe, but like the imagery in it is so beautiful and it's so vivid that it's just glorious. It's really, really glorious. I've been reading loads this year as well, Sarah. And
you both have, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I generally read pretty trashy fiction, to be honest.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's you know, that's absolutely no shade against John Grisham, but I've read most of his collected works this year, I think. Just because I just enjoy an easy read. I enjoy something that's like, I don't need to remember what I was thinking about 3 hours ago. This is, you know, don't have to be referencing footnotes about stuff. So I've been enjoying that. The book I'm reading at the moment is called The Thursday Murder Club by a guy called Richard Osman, who's a TV producer actually in the UK
and presenter
now as well. Yeah, he's we've got a show called Pointless, which is a bit like Family Feud but backwards. I was on the celebrity one, darling, a couple of years ago. But basically, you have, instead of coming up with the answer that the most people came up with, you have to come up with the answer that the least people came up with.
I like the sound of it.
That's great. It's a really, really popular quiz show over here. It's been doing really, really well, actually, hasn't it? But yeah, Richard Osman is the producer on that, and he's like sort of he's the guy who sits behind the desk with the computer and gives you all the really interesting information about the answer you've just given. but he's very, very funny and has written this actually really great, cozy, fun murder mystery book about a load of people at an old folks, you know, like one of those sort of retirement homes. Mm-hmm. who get together on a Thursday and try to solve cold cases. And then they kind of end up in the middle of a live murder investigation. And my Kindle tells me I'm about 65% through. So it's great. It's got really kind of gentle sense of humor to it, which is quite nice. I've read a load of Bill Bryson this year as well. I'm a big fan of Bill Bryson's travel writing.
Because we can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just living through him.
Again, it's funny. It's got a very dry sense of humor to it. It's a bit dated now because, like, most of his travel stuff he did in, I don't know, like the mid 90s, I guess. So, yeah. I read loads of it back at the time. But yeah, rereading it now, and you kind of, especially the ones about Britain and Europe, and there's one about America as well, actually, but Australia
as well.
Australia, yeah. But you kind of, if you know the places even vaguely, you're like, oh yeah, that's not at all 2020, is it? Like,
yeah,
that's definitely 1996.
Yeah.
You know, sort of random references to shops that you just know don't exist anymore. You know,
But
Woolworths being the example over here.
What have I read recently? I've started to get back into reading this year.
Mm.
When I was younger, everyone used to call me Matilda because I always had a book, and I even had like the haircut, the same haircut that Mara Wilson had.
Yeah.
The last year I've read quite a few. One I read recently that was really good and I didn't want to put it down. You know, when you're reading at night and he usually finishes before me. So I'm like, oh, I have to finish this chapter now. I wanted to read more. God damn. Memoirs of a Geisha.
Oh, okay.
So it's fiction, but it takes into account like a lot of the realities of being a geisha in Gion in the early 1900s. It's really interesting.
There was a film of it, wasn't there?
There was. I haven't seen the film.
I saw the film when it came out. I think I was in high school.
It was a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
I'm trying to think if I went with an adult or not.
Yeah.
Why do I think it's got some very odd casting in it?
Probably.
Am I confusing it with something else?
I don't know. He's looking it up.
I'm looking it up.
I think that it was 2005, like, nominated for awards.
Oh, wow. I was in high school.
Oh, no, it's not the one I'm thinking of. What's the one I'm thinking of?
Something.
I did see it at the cinema, but I think there was another one that came around the same time that had Michael Caine in it that was a bit like, why is Michael Caine in this film?
No, it's a really good book. Especially if you're interested in Japanese history and, you know, the whole geisha world.
That's cool.
Just, I think, because when I read it, I thought it was, what's the one that's real? Fiction. Fiction's real.
No, non-fiction.
I thought it was...
Fiction's fake.
There we go.
Non-fiction is not fake. fake. That's what I always tell my students.
Right. Yeah. Pretend I'm in preschool with Tiff. Yeah. When I started reading it, I thought it was nonfiction for some reason. I don't know why. And then I read like a couple chapters and I was like, oh, wait, no, this is fiction. And then I thought I was going to be really upset because I was like, oh, this is so good. But actually, it's a really good book if you have the time to read it.
The Michael Caine one I'm thinking of, incidentally, is The Quiet American, which was peculiar.
It's got Brendan Fraser.
It was a little bit of a peculiar film. I can't remember exactly what it's about, but it's sort of got...
Just don't hate on Brendan Fraser and we'll be fine.
Oh, it's about a guy enjoying his life in Saigon, working as a reporter for the London Times. I just remember it even in 2002 when I didn't know an awful lot about it, and I don't think anybody really thought about it so much, thinking, this is a little bit whitewashed. This is a little bit like... Yeah. How the white people see the Asian culture is like, this isn't good. Mm-hmm. That was a few years before Memoirs of a Geisha. I must be getting them mixed up in my brain.
It's getting old, I told you.
It's getting its age. It's age and having nothing to do. It's going slightly bonkers.
It is hard, like, at the minute, I think, when you're having to concentrate on something, because I haven't had to concentrate on anything for so long because of lockdown. My brain's like, why are you trying to test me?
It's gonna be really interesting when we go back to doing what, quote unquote, normal jobs.
Yeah.
Like, I've not had a normal job for over a year now. So going back to doing, and my work is predominantly involving lots of people, being very much in my personal space for very, you know, it's gonna be interesting and exhausting, I think.
Yeah.
It will be.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be a...
It'll be nice to get out of the house.
It'll be nice to get out of the house.
Cool. So my next question is, I once had a guy ask me this, and I was like, this is the best question ever, so now I ask it to everyone. What is your favorite dinosaur?
Therizinosaurus.
That was quick. What did you say?
Therizinosaurus. I think that's how you say it. They like weird names. You don't know how to say it, do you?
No. Somebody asked me this on an Instagram Q&A thing the other day, actually.
Oh, really?
Or Twitter or something, but they asked it in full in block capitals, which I felt, I don't know if I'm the only person, but it's like, why are you shouting at me? What's your favorite dinosaur?
Answer the question.
My favorite dinosaur is Littlefoot from Land Before Time.
Yes, that's awesome. I love
when I was a kid.
I mean, you dodged the question, but okay.
I think he's a Diplodocus.
Yeah, give us the real name.
When I was a kid, I loved watching that movie because the one dinosaur, they call her Sarah because she's a Triceratops.
Yeah.
And then I watched it as an adult and I remember her being my favorite one. Then I watched it as an adult and I was like, oh, I'm like, she's so mean.
And then you were like, oh my God, I am her.
Land Before Time, first film I ever saw in a cinema. And I remember, I still remember it. I was like 4 or 5, I think. And it was when we were living in New Zealand, and I'd gone with my godmum, Auntie Carol, to the cinema in Auckland. And it got to the bit where Sharptooth came on, the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I remember I screamed and hid under the seat for the rest of the film. And I think I had to be taken out. Like, I don't think we made it through.
That is scary. He has red eyes.
Yeah.
And that's I don't think I'd been to a cinema before. So the idea of this enormous, like, building-sized T-Rex, like, it's a little bit much for my delicate little
mind. At least it wasn't 3D.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It would have been over for you.
Therizinosaurus. It's because it has, like, these really big Freddy Krueger claw hands. It's like a normal dinosaur, and then it has, like, these massive Freddy Krueger arms. It's so cool.
Not like a T-Rex where it has tiny little arms.
No, Therizinosaurus can make beds.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he might scratch up the sheet, but he can make the bed.
I love it. I love it so much.
I just always go back to thinking of that dinosaur from Meet the Robinsons where he goes, I have a big head and little arms.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Like, if you're ever upset, just think of a T-Rex trying to make a bed and you'll feel better.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Like, trying to do a fitted sheet. Can you imagine?
I can't do a fitted sheet.
You could just watch me try. That's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. I have a simple this or that question. And it is Disney World or Universal Studios?
Oh. That's not a simple question.
It's not at all. You liar. You liar.
You are a liar.
I'm a Slytherin, so, you know, it's fine.
That's true.
Sneaky, sneaky.
It's a difficult one because every time I think I answer it, like,
every time someone asks me this question, I give a different answer.
I'm going to say Universal, but I reserve the right to change my mind because we haven't been to, for a start, we haven't been to Animal Kingdom.
No, we haven't.
Oh my God, it's my favorite park.
Like, it's the one we've just not quite managed to get to. For whatever reason. I think because whenever we go, we're going to something that's usually got an event surrounding Universal Studios for obvious Wizarding World reasons. So when we've been to Orlando, we kind of always end up tagging Disney on.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never quite had enough time. Like, you can just about do Magic Kingdom and Epcot in like a day and a bit.
Mm-hmm.
A day, probably, if you've been a few times. And because we haven't done Animal Kingdom, we just haven't had the time to kind of do it, I think. So that'll be next time.
Yeah.
And that being said, like, every time I think, I'm like, oh no, it's definitely Universal. Like, Disney have just added the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I will probably, I'm not that much of a Star Wars fan, but I will probably really like that bit of the park. And, you know, and that will probably sway me over. But I think it's probably Universal. That being said, Blue Man Group are leaving Universal City Walk, which might take it way down in my estimations. So
I'm gonna say Disney World just because
that's right
only because of two rides, which is the Haunted Mansion and Tower of Terror.
Oh, and there was me thinking you're going to say the Carousel of Progress.
I love the Carousel of Progress.
God, so good.
I love it too.
It's a great beautiful tomorrow. I love that ride.
It's a wonderful ride. We took our friend on it who's got a fear of mannequins and
animatronics.
No, mannequins and animatronics, but
Oh my God. My hand has never hurt so much when we went on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride with her. She crushed my hand.
She did not enjoy most of Disney, I don't think.
I was going to say, Disney's probably not the best place to go if you don't like animatronics.
At all.
Yeah, do you want to hear a sad fact? I have never been to Disney World.
Oh my gosh. You have to, Tiff. It is amazing.
You know, someday.
We're working on changing it.
Yes.
Well, yeah. LeakyCon Orlando 2022?
They
better
maybe
come.
Maybe we
because
could go to Animal Kingdom together.
Yeah. we'll just stay for like a week and we can all go and have a big old Disney holiday.
I've only just noticed Chris's head behind Katie.
Oh God!
Super fans.
Wait, what happened? Oh yeah.
No, okay. Yes. So I framed that one because it was my favorite saying that you wrote on all of the little on all the headshots that you wrote. You put seventh best Weasley, and I was like, that is just I just love it. So it made the wall. Yeah,
you're up there with Dumbledore.
Yeah,
very, very honored.
Between Matt Lewis and Tom Felton.
Right.
Good company.
Yeah. I was so awkward whenever we met Matt Lewis because I have this thing where I like all of the seventh movie posters signed. If I'm going to meet somebody, I want like that set. Yeah. And then I usually will like ask them to write a quote. And of course, the quote that I asked him to write, he then told me, he's like, that is my least favorite line. And I was like, oh.
And you were like, yes, but I'm paying your money.
I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you and whose army? It's so funny.
It was so stupid.
He's like, that was so lame. And I'm like, yeah.
It did feel silly to me.
I mean, yeah, it was, but like it made me laugh, you know? Like that's why.
Yeah.
You were in the middle of the war and I can giggle.
He's definitely got worse lines than that. So.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Well, if anybody's wondering, I too would pick Disney World.
Yeah, so we were wondering.
We would, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, LeakyCon 2022, we have a guest room. You can extend as long as you want to. We literally live here now.
As long as you like cats.
As long as you like cats.
I like cats. Cats don't like me.
Cats love me.
Oh, these cats will like you, Nessa.
They will love you.
Sameness. Like, cats are fine. I enjoy a cat, but every single cat that I come into contact with is like,
yeah, it's just, I don't know. They just look at me and they're like, I know you like dogs better. Like, I love you all equally, but
literally just the same.
If you give Iggy a treat, he is your friend for life. Literally, that's all it takes. You shake the little bribe jar, and he's your best friend forever.
Oh, you have a bribe jar too. So do we.
Yes, it says bribes on it. Yeah,
ours doesn't work though, because if I shake the bribe jar near Stanley, he's like, "What do you need me to do? I'm getting out of here."
he's right, too smart now.
This means it's like spot on day or worming treatment or
they get too smart.
Fozzie expects treats, like, from doing anything. Like, I'll come downstairs to do my workout in the morning. Well, he thinks when we go back upstairs, oh, I did your workout with you, I get a treat. And I'm like, no, you didn't do anything.
Tiffany, he kept on company.
He did. He's so sweet.
He's like, all I did was downward dog. Come on.
Very good at it.
All right. So my next question is, what is your favorite, or I guess who is your favorite Disney character?
I like this question. This is hard. Mm. It is taking me a long time. Hard.
Is this original Disney, or does this encapsulate everything that's now under the Disney?
Yeah, does it include
you
Pixar?
You sound like me. So I usually...
Because theoretically, King George III from Hamilton is now a Disney character.
This is true.
That qualifies.
Were you thinking more animated?
I was thinking like classic animated.
Oh, classic.
Ah, okay.
Like, don't include Pixar. Like, Disney animation, you know?
So I can't say Jack Skellington. God damn it. Okay.
I'm going to go full classic and also fully the campest thing ever and go for the Wicked Queen from Snow White. Yay. Just because she is such a wicked queen.
She is.
Earth Queen.
Oh my gosh.
Alana goes,
what's that lady doing? And I'm like, I don't know. She's being mean. Why?
It's such a fabulous vampy character.
Yeah,
and like,
she's great.
Considering it's nearly 100. It's 90 odd years old, isn't it? Like, 1930s?
Oh my god, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Oh.
Yeah. It's so old.
It is.
Yeah.
Snow
White's
1937.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's getting on somewhat.
Uh-huh.
And it's still so good.
Yeah.
I mean, Snow White's voice is terrifying, but like but yeah, no, the Queen is just, she's just such a sort of campy, vampy, glorious evil witch. It's just fabulous.
Yeah.
I love her outfits.
Yeah.
Like, she just looks fabulous.
BA. It's when she's like going down the spiral stairs and that cloak is like,
yes.
It's very good. God.
I'm trying to think classic Disney. I've got someone in my head, but I don't think they're classic Disney.
Just say it.
Lilo and Stitch isn't classic Disney, is it?
No, but I'll take it.
I love Stitch.
So, the sister, Nani?
Don't ask me, I've not actually seen it.
What?
Nani.
I love Nani. I just think she's like the best sister on earth.
I love her.
Like, she's so protective and loving. Yeah, I just love Nani.
Yeah,
Lilo and Stitch came out when I was working in a cinema.
So you should have seen it.
It's one of those films that has memories of a lot of clearing up popcorn. And therefore, I resent everybody who went to see it and I never wanted to.
Well, we're going to watch it, so...
It's a good one.
Okay.
Oh boy.
But you haven't seen it, so we have to watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I'm down for that.
Okay. I like your guys' answers for those because that's very like non-conventional answers. Like I think that's very cool because you don't hear a whole lot of people saying the Evil Queen from Snow White.
But usually people go Maleficent.
She's amazing. Yeah.
Evil Queen. Yeah. But
I think it's just because it's Chris's dream to be an Evil Queen, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. And also I've done 3 pantomimes of Snow White, so it's a favorite story for me anyway.
Yeah. I enjoy Snow White.
Well,
I just remembered my other favorite character, but it's not classic either.
Say it.
Mulan.
Oh yeah, Mulan.
She's so more classic.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say Mulan. I mean, she's like part of the Renaissance era of Disney animation.
Yeah, she's just so. That whole film's amazing, and the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
Let's get down to.
Oh, Donny Osmond. Come on, Donny Osmond.
That's one of my husband's favorite Disney movies too. He loves Mulan.
I'm going to get on with your husband. We will be friends.
I think Aladdin's mine, but that's like...
Love Aladdin.
Yeah, and I think that's just... I don't know whether that's a generational thing. That was the one that was like when I was the right age for it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Robin Williams. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Robin Williams.
Can't go wrong with him.
I watched it so much as a kid, the VHS broke.
Oh, we
that's
all
how it was
one,
with then. The Little Mermaid with us. We broke 2 of them. We watched it
Love
so
it.
Much.
Oh, Jesus,
Katie, it's
my turn. Okay. So lately, I mean, my whole life, it's been around for 25 years.
It's the 25th anniversary.
It's the 25th anniversary of Pokemon. And I've recently reignited my passion of it. So I don't know if you guys are that familiar with it or even just baseline familiar, but do you have a favorite Pokemon?
I do.
This is totally out of my ballpark. I have heard of them.
I still love you. It's okay.
Can you name
just
one?
Name one. Yeah.
Oh, this is like Sarah.
I've got enough time.
There's one called Jigglypuff, isn't there?
There is.
And there's others that I've just forgotten the names of, but yes.
Well, you named one. That's a start.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Ash, he's from Pokemon, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Ash Ketchum.
That's about the extent of my knowledge.
When I was younger, I thought his name was
God,
Ash
that?
Ketchup.
What's that?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Not my area.
No. I kind of grew up watching the original series of Pokemon, so I watched it more than I played it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I did when I was little. I did have a little Nintendo, and I had Pokemon on that. I've actually got a Pokemon game on my Nintendo DS, mm-hmm. which I think is Pokemon Silver. Mm-hmm. But it's stupid. But my favorite Pokemon is Magikarp.
That's not stupid.
Only because he is literally the underdog. Everyone's like, "Oh my god, Magikarp! What a stupid animal! Ugh, stupid Pokemon!" And then he's like. Yeah, and then he evolves into Gyarados. So it's
Oh my gosh. It's so funny you say that. I love that. I actually was playing Pokemon Let's Go Eevee the other day, and there was just a Magikarp flopping on the ground. And I was like, I put it in my Instagram story. So I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know why this is happening. Somebody put it back in the water. Oh.
Is that the fish thing?
Yeah.
It's the orange
the one
fish.
That literally does nothing. He just flops.
Flashed.
What did it? I got
in a battle with a Magikarp yesterday because I'm playing Pokemon Shield on Switch and it wouldn't let me run away from it. I was like, what are you going to do? Splash me again? Like, what?
I think its signature move is something like Swift Swim, which is really helpful, Magikarp, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I put one on my team this time, and when I caught it, it like literally says like this Pokemon is useless. I'm like, no, it's not. Give it
no,
time.
It's not. Yeah, evolve what? Him.
Wait,
yeah.
Wait, then
20.
Pardon?
20.
20. Yeah. That's it.
It evolves at 20.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then you get Gyarados,
and he's like Gyarados. Super BA.
Water and dragon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen to us go on.
Pokemon.
Chris is just like, what is going on?
Same here. I know nothing.
Okay.
This is the last of our questions before we're just going to pull a handful from Discord and then wrap it up.
Okay.
I feel like you can tell a lot about a person from this question, but I need you to describe your perfect pizza.
Oof. We eat a lot of pizza.
We do eat a lot.
I mean, it's delicious.
I've got to be honest, like that pickle pizza you were talking about. Sounds good.
I think it might have been one of the top five pizzas I've ever eaten.
Wow. Do you want to go first?
I've eaten a lot of pizza in my life. This is going to take a while.
I know, it's very serious. This is a serious subject for us.
I could talk about pizza all
day. And like also your favorite style.
That was where I was going to come unstuck.
I was like, thin crust stone bake. I love a thin crust stone bake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like crispy.
But yes, it depends. Like if it's the summer or if you're in Italy, proper, you know, stone baked, thin crust, fresh ingredients, nice bit of prosciutto, bit of mozzarella.
It's your dream pizza. You put whatever you want.
Yeah, but that's what I want, is something really kind of fresh and zingy and, you know, full of flavor and, you know, natural ingredients. But then if I'm in New York, I want something that's literally going to dribble grease down my face.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Really doughy, really greasy, you know, like.
Run by the mafia.
But I think, yeah. But, yeah, no, I think, yeah. Thin crust, stone baked. Mozzarella, prosciutto, maybe even some rocket. That's that's arugula for you lot.
Just had a pizza that you're describing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so good.
It was it was mozzarella, prosciutto,
I don't know what cheese it was, but
and
prosciutto
arugula
and red onion,
and with a garlic, like a garlic sauce, like a garlic white sauce. It was very good.
Yeah. The thing is,
thin crust.
Yeah, I think we're going to kind of describe the same pizza, because for me it would be like tomato base with cherry tomatoes, mozzarella, prosciutto, and arugula. That I love that. Maybe a tiny bit of balsamic glaze.
And I do really like a really good quattro formaggio as well. Like,
yeah, you do.
Yeah, well, but with good cheeses.
Yeah.
Ricotta.
A really nice one.
Oh yeah.
I had a really lovely one once that came with a with a fried egg on the top, which was amazing. No. Which you would hate.
I would hate that.
But
I would also hate that.
I would try it.
I just hate eggs.
Shine on me.
Yeah.
I just hate eggs.
Yeah, I don't know how you can hate eggs.
It's a chicken period. That's how I can hate eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Like, that was so in depth. This is very serious.
I now really want pizza, and we've got roast dinner.
I know.
You know,
but that roast dinner pizza sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just went and picked it up. It's the first time we've like done something posh during lockdown. There's a really, really posh hotel like 10 minutes away from us that we'd never have ever afforded to go and eat at, and we'd never want to, because it's, you know,
we like our comfort foods.
We like our comforts, but also it's a big golf hotel. They had the PGA there, which I think is a great big deal.
Barack Obama stayed there.
No, Barack Obama did not stay there.
He went there.
Biden stayed there, I think.
Oh, there we go.
When we had the NATO summit in Cardiff a few years ago, and yeah, I think I'm pretty sure Biden stayed at.
I know Barack Obama went there.
Yeah, they had some of the meetings there and stuff. But it's this big, really fancy 5-star resort, golf resort hotel that's full of people who, you know, want to be seen at a posh, fancy 5. And it's not really our scene.
No.
But obviously, because they've been shut for the last year, pretty much, and not been able to do anything. They've got they've got several restaurants there, but they've started doing pick up and collect and heat at home posh meals. So because it's Mother's Day next weekend here.
Yeah.
We're having early Mother's Day lunch with my dinner, I suppose, with my mum today.
Yeah.
So I went and picked that up this morning, and it looks really good.
I saw it in the fridge. I was like, oh.
That sounds delightful.
That does sound really good.
And we don't have to dress up to eat it. I can sit in my pajamas. Yay! And have a really, like 5-star roast dinner.
That's literally the best part. Just being comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm starving.
Okay. I am going to pull a couple questions from the lightning bolt questions that our listeners sent us in Discord. And Kendra asks,
hi, Kendra.
Hey, Kendra.
Going back to theme park talk here, what is your favorite place or ride in the Wizarding World in Universal?
Good question.
My favorite place is Ollivander's. Just because I think if I was a witch, I would love to be a wand keeper. Ooh. Even said, like, if you, I think you guys are friends with me on Facebook. If you go on my Facebook, it says I work in Ollivander's as a wand keeper.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my favorite place. I just think it's so magical. And that's the first place we met you guys.
I was going to say, yeah, we met you at Ollivander's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So many good memories.
I think I want to say, and I think it's probably accurate, although it's a difficult one to replicate, because I was very, very lucky the first time I went to the Wizarding World that I got an out-of-hours private look around when literally nobody else was there, and getting to go through the line for Forbidden Journey without 300 people crammed in around you and seeing all the little intricacies and stuff is like, it's such an immersive place. Yeah. I love that, absolutely love that. But I really love Nocturne Alley.
Oh yeah, Nocturne Alley's great.
That's my favorite.
But for a couple of reasons, and I think that whole Diagon Alley area is really, really beautiful. But I really like Nocturne Alley because you kind of, not everybody finds it for a start.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's always quite quiet in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's also dark and cool.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's air conditioned. I can't believe people don't find it in the summer.
I know. The best. Like every time we've been in there, there's been maybe another 10 people in there, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
Like,
it's always quiet.
Yeah.
And you can just sit in there and like have a drink and cool down for 10 minutes. Yeah. And
I've actually legitimately napped in Nocturne Alley. Yeah.
And the, is it, what is the shop? Is it Borgen and Burks that they've got down there?
That's
got all the, I love that shop as well.
Yeah. The like the cursed objects and stuff.
We've got a friend, George, who was until recently one of the art directors at the park. And
he did all like Wizarding World stuff,
sort of,
didn't he?
Not designed, but sort of did the prop sourcing and prop placement for the Wizarding World. So we've been a couple of times with George, and he kind of takes you around and shows you, and he's like, yeah, we found this thing here, and
this came from a thrift store.
Yeah, and we found this cursed baby skeleton thing from a, you know, like,
I've gone and searched for that because Ness told us about that, and I was like, that is the most terrifying doll I've ever seen.
I'm pretty sure, like, when you walk in, you know, the case that's in front of you, I think it's like on the top right of that case.
Yeah
it's creepy, but it's just like that whole area is so beautifully made. It's hard to pick, but I think it would be probably Nocturne Alley or the line. We haven't been since the Hagrid ride arrived, so I don't know whether that would be up there.
It's really good.
It's really good.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's really good. Okay, next question comes from Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Hi, Brandon.
Who is one historical figure you would love to go back and spend a day picking the brain of, and why?
Hmm.
Oh, there's so many. Oh, Brandon, why do this? I'm going to just off the top of my head, not think about it too much, Frida Kahlo.
That would be cool.
Because I just think she was so progressive, especially like as a woman, and her art is amazing. And just the way she lived her life. Yeah. If I thought about it more, I'd probably think of like 10 other people. So I'm just going to go with that one for now.
Can you keep talking for a minute about Frida Kahlo while I keep thinking?
Or maybe someone like Harriet Tubman.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. She would be amazing. Mm. Come on, Chris.
Yeah, sorry. I'm really broken, stuck. I'm just trying to... I'm trying to... think. It's... Oh. Freddie Mercury. Not that historical, but
a legend.
But mm-hmm. a legend, a diva, and just, I think such a vital person.
Yeah.
In like in a turning point of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like everything. Not that he did. Not that I don't think at the time he was. You know, he was obviously a huge part of the LGBTQ community at a time when you really couldn't be that publicly such things. And I know, you know, at the time, obviously people didn't do an awful lot for the community because
it just wasn't
the done thing. You couldn't go shouting about it on the television or whatever. But like he did so much without having to shout about it and without having to be kind of like, oh yeah, here I am donating millions of pounds to this, that, or the other. And I think it would be interesting, I think, to go back and talk to Freddie Mercury now about what has happened because of him since he died. If that makes sense. True. And he just seems like I've watched interviews and things like
he's
that on the
fabulous.
TV. He seems like such a gloriously fabulous person.
Yeah.
And probably an absolute nightmare as well, but and probably incredibly difficult, but all the best people are in their own ways. I think it would be Freddie because he's so fabulous.
He loved cats, so we would get along swimmingly.
He did love cats. Mm,
he did love cats.
Iggy
and like just him. You know, like there's stories about him and Princess Diana going out to like gay bars in London with, and they dress her up as like some
man, yeah.
yeah, like leather policeman and take her into like gay clubs undercover and yeah, like he lived a life that's to excess and extreme, and it sounds fabulous.
I loved that movie, the recent movie.
Yes. Yeah, and
what was it called? I'm blanking.
Rami Malek. Yeah, and I was just about to call Rami Malek Rishi Sunak.
Oh my god!
Don't
do that. For anyone listening who doesn't know who Rishi Sunak is,
he's our Chancellor of the Exchequer, which is basically the Treasurer of State.
And he's an
he's a knight. He's just ruining everything in the UK at the moment.
Sorry, Rami Malek,
but. Rishi Sunak and Rami Malek have the same syllables, and it's a bit confusing in my brain. But Rami Malek, thoroughly deserving an Oscar. Yes.
Yeah. This is a fun question from Samantha.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi, girl.
A scenario. So you're on Great British Bake Off, and you can make whatever you want for your signature or showstopper. What would you make?
Well, you can't bake.
I can't bake.
Me either.
I would make toast. I would make sticky toffee pudding.
Mm.
Not that I ever have or necessarily think I ever could, but that would be what I'd make. You need to make that cake you made.
I was gonna say the carrot and ginger cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, that
that's what I'd
delicious.
Make. Because Chris doesn't really eat sweet things.
No.
And so for his birthday, like I bake him a cake and he's always like, I only like carrot cake or something boring.
I really like carrot cake.
So I've made him carrot cake.
Is
like,
delish.
Yeah.
But I've made him carrot cake for like the past 3 years. So I was like, do you know what? I'm going to make a carrot and ginger cake. I have never seen him eat so much cake. Like, ever.
It was amazing.
I went to get myself a piece about a day after I'd made it and half of it was gone. I couldn't believe it.
It was great.
Thank you. I'll make it again one
Please.
Day.
Please.
I was supposed to be making Welsh cakes today for your mum, but...
Yeah.
Oh well.
There's still time.
Maybe.
Ah, no, there's still time.
Yeah, but we're going
to walk the dogs.
We're going to eat first.
Look at him. He's like, make the cake.
Just do it.
Welsh cakes are really easy because they're not cakes. So
no.
They're like, oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. They're like scones, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're like really thin scones that you cook in a griddle pan.
Ooh, wow.
That they're
like pancakes?
No, this really, no. like an English scone.
The dough is
kind
of like a short crust pastry kind of consistency.
Okay.
Yeah.
with currants and spices and
I'll make you some one day.
Yeah.
I'll make you some.
I would love that.
We have so many plans for the future.
They're all dependent
on getting on a plane, which
true.
One day it'll happen. Yeah.
All right, two more questions and then we'll wrap up. So the next one is from Jen. What is your favorite board game and who is more competitive between the two of you?
This is so easy. Chris is more competitive.
I'm an only child and I never lose.
I feel that so hard. Oh my gosh. Yes, me too.
Monopoly, we've only played that probably twice because Chris gets so angry. I won one time and he was like so angry for the next 2 days.
I think Monopoly is my favorite board game.
I do love Monopoly.
Yeah.
I love Monopoly, but not when I play it with you.
Yeah.
But Chris gets like, he's not like flip the board aggressive. He just gets like passive aggressive. And I'm like, oh God, okay. I won one game. You've won one game. Now we're tied. Oh, can you imagine how like competitive you'll be in the next game because we're tied?
We're never playing again.
No.
We watched The Queen's Gambit not that long ago, and now I kind of want to get chess going again.
We do have a chess set.
I think we're missing a couple of bits, but
yeah,
I was never very good at chess, and I think it might annoy me that I'm not good at. I have a very low threshold for things I'm not good at, basically. I'm like, no, can't do it. That's it. Go away.
I'm not good at chess either, but I was in chess club in high school, but I don't think I remember how to play.
I remember what all the pieces do. Like, I remember which way they go and how many places you can move them, but that's about it.
I have no strategy.
No.
None at all.
I'm just like, okay, there's a pawn there. I'll try and grab that. And then someone's like, yeah, but now I can take you with my queen. And I've won the game. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
All right.
So
we're done. Snaps.
How extra I am is my chess set is like a replica Harry Potter set, but it's not like one of the nice, super expensive ones. It was just like a plasticky, but like the pieces are huge and look exactly like the chess set from Sorcerer's Stone.
We've got one that's modeled on the Lewis chess set.
Yeah, we do.
Is that the one the Harry Potter one's modeled on?
I don't know.
Love those, like the ones that they actually used in the movie.
Lewis chess set was found in a sand dune on the Isle of Lewis in Scotland.
I saw that some pieces from that at the museum in Scotland. We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably did.
Yeah.
It's like the oldest chess set ever found, isn't it?
Yeah. 12th century chess pieces. So we've got like replicas of that. That's which
cool.
is a bit,
really cool.
bit posh, really, isn't it?
It's a bit posh, but you lost a couple of the pieces.
No, I didn't.
What?
I didn't. I'm going to blame my ex-wife for that.
Oh, okay.
That's allowed because she's not here to defend herself.
Okay.
All right. Last question comes from Sam. A different Sam from before. Sam. What is your favorite meal that you can't live without?
Ooh.
Pizza.
Yes. It's on the mind.
It's either pizza or pasta.
Yeah. If we can just have a cuisine, that would be like just Italian.
Yeah, just Italian.
Yeah,
probably pizza or maybe pancakes.
Yeah.
I do love a pancake.
Yeah.
I could eat pancakes every day. I'm going to say pancakes. Okay, but like American pancakes, not crepes.
I think mine would be pizza.
Yeah.
Because it's so versatile. You could put anything on a pizza.
Pancake pizza.
I didn't realize that the pancakes we eat are American pancakes.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Well,
in the UK, if you say a pancake, people just think of like, you know, like a crepe, flat one.
Yeah.
We don't automatically think, oh, pancake, the fluffy, fat ones. They're American pancakes to us.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The little things that are interesting to me. All right.
Quirks of British life.
That's all we got for questions.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Let's go to our fan story.
All right. So this week's fan story comes from Megan Liggett. I hope I said that correctly. Hi, ladies. My name is Megan, and I just recently discovered your podcast, and I'm loving it. I forgot to write it down here, so I don't know how recent that actually is.
How long ago is this from?
I started listening from episode one, and your discussions of Sorcerer's Stone are bringing back all the feels from my Potter experience. So here's my Potter story. When Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone was released in the U.S. in September 1998. I know, I was waiting for someone to say it. I was 9 years old and oblivious to its release. Fast forward approximately 1 year later, and my 10-year-old book-loving me is minding my own business when my grandmother sends my mom an article about this new book that has completely taken the country by storm, and mentions that she ordered a copy for me and it should arrive any day. Looking back, I'm amazed at my completely magical introduction to the wizarding world. I got to read about Harry's discoveries and adventures as I myself was preparing to turn 11. You bet I was eagerly awaiting my owl on my 11th birthday. While I never got my owl, my grandmother made sure to pre-order me each book as they were released. She was reading the series too, and we bonded over the characters and stories, and then discussed the differences between the film versions and the books as the movies were released. I fondly remember spending solid days devouring each book when it came in the mail, and then proudly proclaiming how few days it took me to read it because I couldn't put it down.
That is me.
Now I have kids of my own, and I get to introduce them to the magic of Harry Potter like my grandmother once did for me. It came full circle when I took my boys to the Wizarding World in Universal Studios Hollywood last year, and my 9-year-old eagerly bounced up and down in line for Ollivander's Wand choosing experience. I had to remind him that only one person gets picked from the group, and it may not be him. When we went into the room, he stood perfectly still and silent with his hands clasped in front of him and eyed the wand maker like he knew he was the chosen one. I honestly had to fight back a sob when he pointed at my son and said, "You."
Aww. Yeah.
My grandmother passed last year before we went to the Wizarding World, but I've never been so grateful for the ways in which Jo and her wonderful stories have brought magic into my life. Thanks. Megan Liggett, Gryffindor from Colorado.
Woo, Gryffindor.
Oh, that gave me like chills.
I know.
I'm so emotional about everything. I literally like my eyes are watering.
Thank you, Megan, so much for your story.
I knew her son was going to get picked. I just knew.
Just had that feeling. He was the chosen one.
He was the chosen one.
I'm relieved that he was.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
To be fair, like, I have been in Ollivander's before and, like, honestly wanted to push a child out the way.
I got chosen, actually, the night that we did that MuggleNet thing. And what was cool was it was just the three. So my sister was with us as well. So it's Tiffany, myself, and my sister. And he picked me. And, like, I'm, like, when I say I'm obsessed with skulls, I mean, I'm like, I have way too many of them. And the wand that like chose me has a skull on it. It was like perfect for me.
Oh, is it like one of the Death Eater ones?
Yeah.
I think we've got Death Eater, Sarah.
Yeah, I think we do.
It's right there.
Are you
It is right there.
Yeah, the first time.
We have all the wands in this house.
We do.
Yeah. Same. The first time we went to Universal, I got picked and it was super cool.
What the heck? I never get picked.
It took me a couple tries.
I tried to will them with my mind and it didn't work.
Yeah. I think the next time we go, I might just spend the whole day like going back through the line. He has to pick me eventually, right?
Not necessarily.
Who's this person? There are
some there are some tips and tricks about like where you stand.
Yeah.
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 So. You have to maybe
the problem is every time we go back and go to Ollivander's, I have to buy you a new interactive wand because I break them all.
Yeah, you broke my first one. Rip.
FYI, Ollivander will fix them for free.
Yes, but when you snap them in half, they don't.
Yeah. Oh, what are you doing?
We went to...
We were being very adult and having a wand battle. So.
That wasn't an interactive one, was it? That was the Bellatrix one.
No, that was my interactive one.
Oh, was
one.
It? Sorry. I went to do an event. Yeah, it's like an acting workshop, and it was kind of acting and wizarding at the same time in Portugal a couple of years ago. And they wanted me to teach the kids how to do wand moves. So I did the classic, you know, wand battle choreography with them and stuff, and Ness was very kindly helping me out, but I managed to smack her wand with my wand and it literally like
snapped.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Like took either a good couple of inches off your wall.
And there were all these kids around, gosh. And all the kids were like, they were like, "Oh my god!"
And then we did another event for World Book Day. Harry Potter Book Night. That wasn't me though. That was our friend Dr. Bev, who's a drag queen, who was hosting the event, dressed as Professor Umbridge. And yeah, you lent her a wand, yeah. And she broke that.
So. She dropped it and broke it. I was like, no, what the heck? Wands don't like me.
Oh my gosh. Maybe you just haven't found your wand yet, you know?
Yeah, because all of them won't pick me.
Yeah.
So true. So for Chris and Ness, every episode we pull a joke from this unofficial Harry Potter joke book.
Oh my god.
So I've selected a very cheesy one. They're all for you cheesy. Guys. Let's be some honest. Are like dumb bad. Some are really bad. But all of them are dad jokes. So all right. How many Snapes is more than a few? Severus.
I have a pizza joke.
Yes, ooh, pizza joke. Yeah.
What's the difference between a good pizza joke and a bad one? Cheesy. The delivery.
Oh. I've got another terrible joke for you. How do you fit 5,000 Pikachus in a Nissan Micra? You Pokemon.
So you know two Pokemon.
Yeah. I remember Pikachu. Mostly because of that joke.
Fine, you gotta get on my level. I think I can name six.
What sound does Pikachu make?
I don't know. I'm
you were riding high. Nosedived.
I don't know whether I'm just the wrong age, but it completely passed me by.
It's Pika Pika.
Oh, cool.
No? Okay, cool.
It just, totally passed me by.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Make sure that you follow your hosts on social media. Myself and Katie are on Twitter and Instagram at the Petrus Family. Tiffany is on Twitter and Instagram at @TiffSwish_flick. And Sarah is on Instagram at O'Malley with 3 H's.
Because she's extra.
Yes. Would you guys like to plug where people can find you?
Ness?
You can find me on Instagram. It's Nessa_Beecroft with 2 E's.
You can find me virtually anywhere. Twitter @ChrisRankin, Instagram @CWRankin because I'm useless and don't have matching social handles, and on Facebook I think it's just Chris Rankin official or something like that. Basically, if it says Chris Rankin and it's got a blue tick next to it and the picture of a ginger man, that's me. And I mean ginger man, not gingerbread man.
I love that.
You should switch all your profile pics to a gingerbread man now. Throw everyone off.
Oh goodness. Well, thank you. I loved it.
Thank you for having us.
I miss you guys.
Of course.
Miss you
too. It's rubbish. We'll have to it will be over soon, I think.
Can hopefully. We play Animal Crossing soon, please? But you can't come to my island because it's horrible.
I'm probably covered in weeds. Can't come to mine because it doesn't exist.
Rip.
I have to go clean up some weeds, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll play. Yeah. We'll figure out a time.
Yeah.
Well, once again, thank you so much for joining us. It's always an adventure. And, you know, maybe we'll have you on again to just talk about pizza.
Please.
Yes.
Have to have pizza night.
Yeah.
We'll virtual pizza night.
Yeah.
Sounds like a wonderful idea.
I would love that. So I would assume that this episode would be for pizza and friendship.
Yes.
Pizza and pals.
Pizza and pals. Oh, that's better.
That alliteration. Yeah. That's better.
Okay.
Very good.
That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
I don't even have a TikTok. I'm too old to have a TikTok because I spelled it incorrectly, and I was like, I can't join.
What is this top tick?
Testing.
De toi.
There's a poop emoji, so...
Okay.
So if you go to Danny DeVito... click on Danny's Rito.
Cool. Now that I'm ready, we can begin.
Oh, good.
Look at her.
Hey, like, I wasn't the one who dropped the F-bomb. It was Megan. Oh, my God.
Did I?
You did? Yeah, I'm pretty sure you went, oh, like that.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Well, now you both have, so.
True.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Enjoy your days.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.